Hello, this is David McGuffey. I'm an elder law attorney, and today we're talking about powers of attorney. One of the reasons why we need to discuss powers of attorney is because there are many misconceptions out there. People don't understand them. We're going to talk today about why you would use a power of attorney, what they're for, what they're not for, and some of the questions that can come up. First of all, one of the reasons why we use powers of attorney is because no one has a working crystal ball. None of us know when we're going to be frail, or if we're going to have a medication imbalance, or if we're going to have a dementia or some kind of brain disease, or if we're going to be a victim of elder abuse. Tomorrow is uncertain. We don't know what tomorrow holds. The reason why you want to have these documents in place or a power of attorney in place, we're going to talk in other presentations about other documents you might have, is because we want to have structures in place that can help you at times when you need help. Now, as you're thinking about the future and you're trying to decide what to do, what are my options? Well, one of your options is to do nothing, and I would tell you that that is not the best option. Another option would be to rely on the court system to help you if you get to the point where you need help. And for various reasons we can talk about later in this presentation or in another presentation, that may not be the best option. So a third option, which we're going to talk about today, is the power of attorney. And when you have that realization that something could happen to you and you could reach the point where you can't do everything for yourself, God forbid that one of us might someday have to ask for help, then what should you do? Well, the first thing that you might want to do is think about what your goals are. We want to have these documents in place, these structures in place to help you achieve your goals. So as you think about your goals, you're going to want to think about your values. You're going to want to think about housing, not just, you know, do you have a house, but where do you want to live? And what kind of community do you want to live in? What kind of social interaction do you want? What resources are available? Do you have sufficient income? Do you have sufficient savings? What other resources are available? Is your family large enough to help you? And then what public assistance can you get? So we need to consider these things and how they mesh or how they might not mesh with your goals. We want to think about those things that are important to you. Many surveys tell us that the elderly value independence, dignity, and it really gets down to a question of control. You want to continue to live your life the way you want to live it. That's important to people. And one of the reasons why we use these structures, powers of attorney, is to help you achieve your goals. We want to make sure that as your goals are being followed or as someone's trying to help you, that your values are the ones being drawn upon. So as we ask the inevitable questions that are going to come up, most likely at a time when you can't speak for yourself, otherwise we wouldn't need this kind of document, are we answering these questions with a view based on your goals? Are we trying to fulfill your goals, follow your goals, or are we using someone else's goals? And I'm going to tell you that if you have not told someone, if you have not told your agent what your goals are, then you should not be surprised if your agent is planning with his or her goals. None of us are mind readers. That might work on television, it might work in the movies, but for the most part, we are only able to decipher what you tell us. So if you want us to follow your values as we answer these questions, then you have to tell us what your values are. Now, many of these documents are very broad. Most powers of attorney, if they're drawn carefully, if they're drawn effectively by an attorney to fit your circumstances, they're going to be designed to help us when we have a moving target. So, you know, some people will say that they're like giving someone a blank check, and that's not far off the mark. One of the reasons why is because we don't know what kind of help you're going to need in the future if you need help in the future. So, as we draw these powers of attorney, one of the things that you should know is that they can authorize an agent selected by you to do almost anything. Now, there are probably some things an agent can't do for you. There are some decisions which the law says are personal in nature, and so personal in nature that only you can do them. One of them, for example, would be getting married. You can't give someone a power of attorney and then have them turn around and help you get married at a time when you have dementia or something like that. But most other things can be authorized. Certainly, almost any financial decision can be authorized. One thing to keep in mind, though, if you have a trust in Georgia, you now have to have express authority in the power of attorney and in the power of attorney to allow your agent to work with a trust. Otherwise, they don't have that authority. A power of attorney can provide flexibility. Again, we don't know what the future holds. So if, for example, we would be working with your retirement accounts, a power of attorney can authorize your agent to do the things that are necessary to work with your retirement accounts. They can also have restrictions in them, and that's something that we sometimes overlook as you're trying to achieve your goals. One thing you might say, for example, is my agent would have authority to draw upon my retirement account to help me out, but would not have authority to change my beneficiaries. So there are trade-offs. One of the things that we will frequently tell people, because now some industries are reaching the point where they want you to push you into an arbitration setting, they want to deprive you of your right to a jury if they hurt you, and some people think that's unfair, others don't, and to some extent that's a values decision you have to make, but I'm using that as a way to give a further example that sometimes we would restrict someone's authority by saying, for example, that my agent does not have authority to waive my right to a jury if I am hurt in the future. So you can provide flexibility. You can provide power. You can also withhold power as you're trying to decide how your agent would help you and how your agent would follow your values. You can fire your agent. One of the common misperceptions with the power of attorney is that the person who has received the power of attorney is now a person with authority over the individual who gave that power of attorney, and that they can somehow dictate what the person can and can't do. That is absolutely wrong. A power of attorney is an agency relationship, and it can be terminated at any time by the principal, that would be you if you're giving a power of attorney to someone, by firing them, by revoking the power of attorney. A power of attorney can be revoked in a number of ways. First, you could tear it up. You could tell someone they're fired. You could execute a formal revocation of the power of attorney. You could do a new power of attorney that says, I revoke all of my old powers of attorney, and most lawyers drafting new documents would say that's the best way to do it. You can also tell your people that you work with, such as banks, that you have terminated the power of attorney, and that's certainly recommended because you don't want your bank giving money to someone you fired. So there are different things that you would want to do and different steps you can take if you believe that someone is abusing a power of attorney. But I will go back for a moment and reiterate that when you give someone a power of attorney, it can be taken away. They do not have power over you. They do not have power to tell you what you can and cannot do. To some extent, it can become a permanent situation if, for example, you've given a power of attorney to someone and you later develop dementia. But as long as you have your faculties about you, then you can continue to direct what's going on. You are not subjugated to the person holding the power of attorney. Powers of attorney can be in two broad forms, and there are other ways to slice this apple. So I'm using this one right now generically to describe the difference between a general power of attorney, which can give your agent power to do almost anything, versus a limited power of attorney, and most limited powers of attorney are for a single purpose. For example, if you have ever closed on a home, you probably signed a limited power of attorney giving the closing agent authority to finish up things that weren't done or that might have been forgotten during the closing. Or if you have bought a car, you probably gave the car dealership a limited power of attorney to complete the transaction and file the appropriate paperwork with the state. If you have authorized your CPA to deal with the IRS, you probably executed a limited power of attorney authorizing them to do that. Now, another way to divide these powers of attorney is in terms of effectiveness and time. And you can make a power of attorney effective immediately as soon as you sign it. You can also make one that is dormant right now that is not effective immediately and that would become effective at some point in the future, usually after a triggering event occurs. These powers of attorney that do not become effective immediately and are effective at some future date, we usually call those springing powers. When the triggering event occurs, it springs into being, so to speak, and from that time forward, your agent would have authority to help you. One way to describe them would be if your doctor says you're nuts. And frequently, powers of attorney are drawn that way, and a doctor would execute an affidavit or some other document indicating that you no longer have the ability to manage your finances. Similar certifications might appear in a trust document as we are moving from one trustee to a successor trustee. You can also have other triggering events. For example, you could have a committee of friends. And let's say you had five friends named and three out of the five had to agree that you needed help before the power of attorney would become effective. That would be a way to have a triggering event. You could have a power of attorney that triggers if you're out of the country. You could have a power of attorney that triggers if you go to a nursing home or to a hospital. So really the triggering event is something we can describe in the document. It can be effective at whatever time period you believe is appropriate at some future date. We can also put ending dates on powers of attorney. We don't usually do that because usually they become effective at some later time when you need it, and we don't know when you're going to stop needing it. But if we knew, for example, you were going to be out of the country for 30 days, we could have the power of attorney that was effective from the time you left until you came back. So that would be one way to limit a power of attorney. Now, when you select an agent, you want someone who is going to steer your ship for you when you can't do it yourself, and you're going to want somebody who is a leader. But you're also going to want someone who understands that they're working for you. This is not about them. This is about you. They need to be willing to help you out when you need help. It needs to be someone you would trust to make investment decisions for you if they're working with your money, or at least someone you trust to look to financial advisors to make financial decisions for you. It should be someone that you trust with your keys. If you would not give someone the keys to your house, then you should not give them a power of attorney. It should be someone who's trying to protect you and who understands that they are working as a team and they should be working as a team for your benefit, not for their own. To be someone who understands that we are trying to all move the same direction and that they're not working against you or against your values. Now, one of the things that comes up frequently is this question, can I name more than one person as my agent? And the answer is yes, you can, but why would you? And the thing you have to keep in mind is too many cooks in the kitchen can spoil the soup. And not all people get along very well. So if you're going to name more than one person as your agent, then you need to be mindful that they may or may not get along, and you need to have some kind of decision-making matrix or some kind of tiebreaker mechanism, or you need to make sure that these people really do get along, or if you're really just searching for accountability, then we need to come up with some other way to make people accountable. For example, we can require your agent to, if your agent is one child, we can require that child to make full disclosure of all financial transactions to your other children. So we need to think about what are your goals, what's your reason for wanting to have more than one power of agent, and can we do that a different way? If we can't, then how are we going to deal with a situation where your agents can't get along? You also need to make sure that it's someone you trust. If you don't trust someone completely, then don't appoint them. You need to consider the fact that these documents are designed to work for you, not against you, And think about this. If you want to make sure that you're taken care of, don't be afraid to let your agent take care of you. And make sure it's somebody who will take care of you. The best way to get a good result is to set yourself up for success, not set yourself up for failure. For example, if you need medications, make sure you take those medications. If you have gotten to the point where you need a walker so you don't fall down, make sure you use a walker. Now, if we have a situation where someone is not taking care of you, say they're abusing a power of attorney that you gave to them, or let's say you're not the agent, you're looking at a power of attorney, a situation where someone's been appointed as an agent, and you think they're abusing that power of attorney, it can be taken away. In Georgia, it would be done in the context of a guardianship or conservatorship proceeding, probably a conservatorship because that's the word we use to describe the person who handles finances. The court would examine the evidence that you're presenting of abuse, so you need to make sure you've got witnesses lined up, hopefully you've got documentation lined up, and if the court finds abuse, then the court can appoint a conservator, which could effectively terminate the power of attorney. It's also going to give us a new person who's responsible, accountable to the court to make decisions for you. Now, if you are looking for help with decision-making structures, if you're looking to put your estate plan in order, certainly a power of attorney is one of the tools that you're going to want in your toolbox, and an elder law attorney is certainly a good choice on where to go to get that done. The elder law practice of David L. McGuffey, I'm David McGuffey, we can certainly help you if you're in Georgia or if you're in Tennessee for that matter. But if you don't call someone, then you're going to have one of those options we talked about at the beginning of this program, which is a lack of planning, a lack of specificity, an inability to know that your values will be followed because you didn't set a structure in place to make that happen. If you want us to help you with it, you can call us at 706-428-0888, and we would be happy to assist you. If you don't live in our area or if you are looking for someone in another state, you can go to the National Academy of Elder Law Attorneys website. That's naela.org. They have a Find a Lawyer tool, and you can use that to locate a lawyer near you. Thank you for listening in. And we hope that this has helped you. And if you want to talk more, please give us a call. Take care.
Thank you. Please stand by.